This is a show about bodies. I have a body. You have a body.
We all have bodies. Bodies are weird. Bodies are funny. Bodies are good.
Here lies plenty of bodies, but we promise we aren't murderers.
If you feel squeamish about bodies, don't fear.
You'll find nothing but body positivity here.
Welcome to Beautiful Bodies. Welcome to Beautiful Bodies, your regular dose of radical positivity. I'm Alyssa Mazur.
And I'm Willow Wallace.
The music has already happened.
Yes, yeah. One of us has wedged it in.
Yeah, you. I'm sure it was you.
Alyssa steps in when, like, I sort of lose my autonomy and, like, I can't really function very well, which is a really great setup to have.
But it's the only time I do any editing.
Here we are.
Yep. So let's describe what we're doing right now.
Okay, so we're sitting at my very green kitchen table.
Where we always record.
Mm-hmm. In Madison.
Yep. So I arrived. Wow, I had the longest day.
You did, but you didn't have to go into work early, but you did.
I did, because I'm a team player.
And you're broke.
Yeah, because when you're doing shift work and someone calls you at 7 a.m. and says, you want some more money.
Yeah. And it's all politics, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, I live closer than, like, anybody else on staff, and it's, like, not a super big deal. So I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever.
And when were you supposed to go in?
I wasn't supposed to go in until 11.
Oh, so, and that's a big difference.
And I stayed up late last night thinking that I wouldn't have to go in until 11. So I'm a little bit tired, but that's why I'm drinking a Red Bull.
Well, she's actually drinking three drinks.
I am drinking three drinks. Okay, so I'm having the Red Edition, the cranberry Red Bull, because it's, like, the best Red Bull.
Okay.
Which I discovered at a drag bar, actually in Madison, several years ago.
Nice.
And then I am having a glass of a Rosa Obscura 2016 red blend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually like red wine, but this is really good. Usually,
it's jammy.
It's very jammy. Usually the aftertaste I get in red wine I don't like, but this is really good. And then I am also having, because originally we broke out the red wine, but Will didn't like it.
Will never like a red wine.
Which is totally fair, because I don't really like red wines, really, and so, you know, it was a gamble. Mm-hmm. I got it in my wink box, so I thought...
Sponsor us.
Well, I'm probably gonna get rid of my subscription, so...
Well, if they keep giving you.
Just because it's expensive. Now that I'm making minimum wage. Sure. It's wild. Literally, like, my weekly paychecks back when I worked for you-know-who
mm-hmm.
were, like, $450.
Yeah.
And the weekly paycheck I just got for my last, like, full week mm-hmm. at the juicery I started working at was, like, $150.
And you're working a million times harder.
I'm working a million times harder, but you know, hours are weird and whatever. God, it's fine.
So you're also drinking.
So then, because Willow didn't like the red wine, we broke out Red's Peach Ale.
Which is delicious.
Which is so good.
It's not obnoxiously sweet.
Exactly, because what's the other one? Smirnoff does a peach Bellini.
Oh, I'm sure that tastes like sugar.
And it's just complete sugar. I mean, I like it, but it's just complete sugar. God, silence your phone!
I'm so Willow. Unprofessional.
My phone's not silenced, but it's always on vibrate, so. So, yeah.
I lose my phone, so I can't really all the time.
And I'm also drinking water like a responsible person, so I have four beverages, I guess.
That's true. And Alyssa did get me water.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're drinking alcohol, it's a good idea to also drink water. Stay hydrated, kids.
Yeah. RA life.
But I am, like, basically alternating sips between my various beverages.
It's true.
We also just went and got, like, a fuck ton of snacks and, like...
I'm so excited.
Well, we got Cheeto Puffs, which are just, like... Just...
Are you team, like, stick it in your mouth and then, like, swell your mouth up and the thing with spit and then you squish it into your mouth?
Pretty much, yes.
Great, because that's peak experience.
I mean, because that's the experience. Like, it's the mouth feel.
Exactly.
It's the mouth feel of the puff that mm-hmm. does it. I don't.
Because you could eat them super fast.
Yeah, you could. I don't like regular Cheetos either. I won't eat regular Cheetos.
Well, unless I'm really hungry and then it's at a vending machine.
No, I won't eat them anyway. Oh. There are better options. I don't like Cheetos, but I love Cheeto Puffs.
Cheeto Puffs are king. Actually, I was in class the other night and this woman had 2 bags of Cheetos and I was like, I was just sort of like commending her. I was like, yes. And she offered me one, and I was like, no, stop, like...
It's your food.
Yeah, like, you got 2, like, you should eat them. And one of them was a bonus Cheeto. Like, the machine fucked up.
I love when that happens.
I know, so she gave it to me.
Wow, and, like, what a good friend.
I know, I, like, almost cried in class. Because, like, the whole time... And we're both, like, crunching way too loud for how quiet class was.
Oh, my God, you should have seen me when I left work yesterday, because I immediately went out to go Lyft driving, mm-hmm. and...
Sweaty.
And well, I smelled okay. Okay. I made sure that I smelled okay before I got in the car. But I
mean, they get in the car with you. It's not like they can change their mind.
It's true. but it affects my rating. Ayo. But this one guy got in my car the other day, and the first thing he said was, "Wow, it smells so nice in here." And I was like, "That's a 5-star rating, bitch." But wow, what was I just about to say?
No color.
Oh, because they cut me out from work early, so I was like, well, at least cook me something before I go.
Yeah.
And so I got this amazing sandwich that they make. It's like avocado spread, cucumbers, sliced green apples, pickled, it's like pickled beets, but it's like really, really good. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's not the pickled beets, maybe it's the pickled red onion.
Yeah.
It's something like that. And it's, like, really, like, fresh, and, like, you just bite into it, and your mouth just, like, floods with saliva. That's amazing. And I was just, like, shoving it in my mouth before I, like, got ready to do Lyft. Yeah. I was, like, sitting in my car, like, jamming it into my face. Oh, well, that's food for ya.
Yeah. And I started grad school.
Yeah! Okay. I am not at all surprised that Willow is fucking killing it. Like, Willow was texting me about, like, all the good things that are happening, and I'm like, yeah, okay, bitch, not surprised, but brag all you want. Like, making so many friends, being so impressive, being so smart.
Thank you.
It's true.
It's really wild. Like, so for one of my classes, we had to turn in, like, a personal narrative on, like, our experience with, like, sort of education and, like, how... Sort of, like, why that made us want to be in, like, this program, right? The education program. And so with this teacher, right, I was really honest about the narrative of, like, being the dumb kid and, like, really not... Right, like, the education system that I went through was not made for me, like... And that...
Which, like, still bugs me a lot. Like, yeah. It still really bugs me because you're one of the smartest people I know and, like... To be considered, like, to just not get the education that you needed is, like, really frustrating.
Yeah, and I think, like, to add insult to injury, like, growing up, home life was really shitty, really toxic. Yeah. And I don't know what was going on with my mom and my brother, but, like, they were just sort of this, like, epicenter of knowledge and brilliance, and, like, I was just, like, the dumb one in the family. So it's, like, right, in both of these really pivotal spaces, I was hearing that.
Yeah.
But I was honest in my essay sort of about, like, how, you know, I have mentors who are telling me that I'm smart, who are telling me that my ideas are worthwhile, and I'm learning, right, and I'm rewriting how I know myself.
Mm-hmm. Getting more confidence in yourself, hopefully.
Yeah. Which, you know, and I'm sure it'll be a lifelong process.
Oh, absolutely.
But classes are going really well.
Yep.
I had a teacher last night where he was like, listen, grades in grad school, they don't matter.
Yep.
And I was like, okay. I'm listening. Right. And it's, right, part of it is that I'm in an education program, right? So they're, like, wet for education theories.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're going to be, like, smart about how they expect people to learn.
Yeah.
And really take away the information.
That's a super good point.
But I know it's different, like, if you go into, like, a hard science.
Yeah. I forget that you're in, like, an educational program.
Yeah. Yeah. So in my program is educational leadership and policy analysis. Yeah. And it's pretty liberal. I mean, can you be an education program and not be liberal?
Yes.
That blows my mind. It blows my mind. I guess, Who is that?
Willow said the fucking funniest thing to me the other day.
What did I say?
Willow was like, I think I'm too lip. What was it? Too radical. I think I'm too radical for this school. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, I literally just texted them back. Duh. Like,
well, I was in this classroom, right, with this professor who is amazing.
Yeah, super cool.
Like, this man was like a key expert witness for like multiple Supreme Court cases on like desegregation and like civil rights stuff. Like, he like
a true homie. He's a real smart guy.
Yeah, he's woke-if.
Wow, let's just, I'm gonna use that forever now. You're no longer woke, you're woke-if.
And he's like ancient too, so he's really adorable.
Oh, that's the best.
I know, I love
him. I love when old people are not racist.
Me too. Oh my god, and he wears like bow ties and he uses these really
dorky glasses. That's the best.
And we tease each other in class.
How old is he?
Oh, 80s?
Really? Wow. Yeah. He sounds like a fun time.
He's so much fun. In class, we were having like a sort of a bit on anarchy.
Right.
Like, we were being student taught about anarchy, which was really interesting. But, so there's something called, what is it? Like a teaching web.
Okay.
Which is a theory of anarchy that, hello, Hamilton, that supports like dismantling standard, like, colonizing education, right? Okay, I'm on board. And instead creating these webs. Hamilton just wants to jump on the left. Creating these webs of people who know things and people who want to know more about a particular subject.
I'm all for it. I'm on board.
And then you share information. And I was like, okay, I'm down. And then the student was like, okay, like, let's shout out some things that we're interested in.
Oh, right.
And then we'll form these groups. These fucking people wanted to talk about mindfulness, and they wanted to talk about
mindfulness?
Yeah, that was
What does that mean to them?
I mean, I think it's like being tapped into yourself.
All right. Okay.
And then the majority of the class wanted to talk about, should student athletes get paid?
Yeah.
Obviously, I was in the group that talked about the school-to-prison pipeline.
Obviously.
Duh, with, like, the only other two people in my class that, like, now I value.
Yeah. I'm all for, like, the concept of quote-unquote mindfulness, but, like, I want to understand, like, the context. Like, what are you creating? Like, what are you, like, thinking about? Like, what are you producing?
Yeah, I will say there was a girl, she came back, or a woman, she's an adult. I always catch myself on that. She came back, and she was talking about mindfulness, and I was like, listen, like, I would rather gouge my eyes out than have to listen to any bullshit about mindfulness ever again in my life. And she was good about it. She was like, you know, like, can I ask why you feel that way?
Yeah.
And I told her how, like, with the opioid epidemic, how there's such a push from doctors and legislatures to not prescribe opioid medication, right, not prescribe anything for pain, and instead focus on pain acceptance.
Ooh.
In all patients.
Yeah.
Right? Even if you fucking have, like, terminal cancer, they're still trying to focus on this.
That is so wild.
Yeah, and so part of that
seems so, like, Eastern, although maybe that's coming from a place of ignorance. Like, it seems, well, I guess the better way to say it is that it seems not very Western of them.
And I think that they're using that as sort of, like, it's like a straw man.
Okay.
Where they're like, yeah, you know, like, you know, if you're just, like, really mindful and you go to these, like, group
sessions. Yeah, because thinking about it a lot is definitely going to put you in less pain.
Right. And they're like, you know, if you just, like, accept that you're in pain.
Okay, well, I definitely don't think about mindfulness as being, like, related to any kind of physical feelings.
That's fair. I don't know. Basically, I just told her, I was like, this is my context. It's been poisoned for me.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And, you know,
especially because we've had that conversation before about how, like, I really love meditation and yoga.
Yeah.
And that's not something that works for you or that you enjoy at all. Yeah.
It's just paying attention to how much pain I'm in.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
So, long story short, grad school is really wonderful. I'm finding the right people who want to push the envelope, push the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making purposeful friends. We did this thing where we went around, each person said their name, and then the class shouted out things that we remembered about them.
Okay.
And so I remembered a lot of stuff about the people in class. And I was surprised, because when it came to me, nobody said anything. And, like, I mean, I have a podcast. Obviously, I'm not shy talking. But I think what it was is just the week before we did the thing, and I hate this, where you talk about yourself to somebody else, and then they introduce you to the class.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
So somebody's, like, fucked up my entire narrative.
And no.
Made me, I know, yeah. So,
That's the worst.
That's just what I'm counting it as. Like, they'll get a flavor of me as yeah. the semester goes on.
That sucks. Oh, well, but overall, things are good, right?
Things are surprisingly good. It's about, like, 4 to 5 hours of reading per class.
And you're taking 3 classes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not so bad.
It's not terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, my roommate who just started grad school is experiencing, like, not that much work, like, yeah. in comparison to what we had at Beloit.
I know, isn't that weird?
It's actually not that surprising to me. My dad told me that when he went to grad school, he had way less work to do because it's kind of like, oh, well, they trust you. They're not going to load you with busy work. They want you to do your research.
True. Right, it's supposed yeah. to be qualitative.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, a lot of things I think we can definitely agree that there were some, we got some busy work in college.
Yeah.
There were things that really didn't help us learn anything.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, prove that you're doing something.
Right.
And I don't think that there's as much of that in grad school.
No. Yeah. And like, also my experience, so I have 3 professors. I've talked to all of them about
what's the, makeup?
So I have, there's an immigrant Asian woman.
Awesome.
There's a black man.
Perfect.
And then there's
Friendly old white guy.
The friendly old white guy.
Hey, that's like not bad.
No, it's not.
Considering how bad it could have been, that's great.
Agree.
Not that we haven't also had professors who are of like diverse backgrounds who are also pieces of shit. Like
and
also had white professors who are like really, really great. Like
John McMahon.
Yeah, John McMahon, Jill Budney, who else can we shout out? That's it.
Yeah.
I had a great journalism professor.
He was really great. He really encouraged you.
He really did encourage me. I think that he recognized that I just have a lot of opinions.
Good. Oh, but what I was saying is that...
Oh, right.
Right, I have...
These three professors.
I went through the disability center at my
yeah.
school. So they... Maybe they all got emails, maybe they didn't. I'm not sure how it really works. But I sat down with each of my professors and... You know, I asked them, like, what they were comfortable with. I told them, like, look, what I usually do is I want to tell you about what I have so we can be on the same page. And then, you know, we just have this, like, open communication throughout
yeah,
the semester.
That's really your best bet.
Right. And I know that that doesn't work for everybody, and some people can, like, open themselves up to discrimination.
Yeah.
But... So far, so good.
Good.
All of them have been amazing about it. They're literally just like...
That's great.
Look, right, like, don't worry about deadlines for anything. Like, I want you to get the meat. Like, I want
yeah.
you to learn something. I don't care about the check marks on the syllabus.
I think that that's also something that comes in grad school.
And, you know, with the increased autonomy of grad school,
yeah,
it makes
exactly.
sense.
Yeah. Because you're not a kid. Like,
right.
I think in college we could say up to the point that we were 21, maybe, we were kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I still very much feel like a kid.
Yeah.
But in grad school, you're not really a kid anymore.
No. Oh, my God. Everybody's getting engaged right now.
Yeah. Okay. Don't be fucking judgmental or, like, because you're, like, around the corner from getting engaged. So don't jump up on a high horse right now when there's going to be a ring on your finger in the next, like, 90 days. Like...
I'm just saying every time I go to a new class, somebody is engaged.
Yeah.
Which is impressive.
I had a long talk with my therapist this week about how happy I am that I'm not dating.
Good. Tell me more about that as somebody who compulsively dates. Maybe since I was 15.
It's kind of, like, long and complicated, but, like, the short of it is that I've, like, never... One, I've never loved myself more in my life than I do at this moment.
Damn.
And... I don't think I've ever been happier in my life than I am in this moment.
Holy shit.
And that was not true a year ago.
Oh, oh my God, a year ago.
But those were different situations, not having anything to do with romance.
Oh my God. That's
it just kind of occurred to me last week, like, I know a lot of people in relationships. I know a lot of people who are, like, older and going through, like, very meaningful, like, milestones in their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my life, basically, I don't feel the need to compete. Compete's the wrong word, but, like, you're really, like trained. Yeah, like, you're really trained in your life to, in, like, especially your youth, that, like, you need a partner. And that, like, that's what completes you. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, you get trained, you know, about, like, heterosexuality mm-hmm. and monogamy mm-hmm. and all this other kind of stuff. That's just totally ingrained in you.
Yeah.
And it becomes, especially for women, like, this kind of thing where, like, you're not worth anything unless a man loves you.
Right. Or, which is why guys have to propose.
Exactly.
Because they picked you.
They have to pick. And then even, like, for me as a queer woman, it's like, well, you're not, like, you're still not whole unless you're loved.
Right.
And I think where I come from is, like, right now I have zero patience to care about anyone else but me. Like,
it's a lot of work.
I just can't do it, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's been like a very long process of, because I've been single for a super long time, like, yeah. It's not new. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of I've realized in the last few weeks that I'm not upset about it.
Yeah.
And that I'm not trying to, like, go out and change the situation.
Yeah.
But that's a diversion. Oh my god.
Hamilton is, like, curled up in the sweetest little ball in this yellow poo.
He's so cute. He's
so freaking cute.
I can't stand it. All right.
Take a photo and we can post it with the podcast.
Perfect.
My son.
Okay. Thanks for sitting through our 20-minute diatribe on our lives.
Be a little invested in us.
I know, seriously. Also, this is like a good life update because my parents listen to it and I don't talk to them, so. No, I'm kidding. I talk to them all the time.
Oh my god. I started having like hour-long phone dates with my mom, like, yeah. almost every day.
Yeah.
It's so great.
That's nice.
I'm so glad that she and I are friends.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. We were not friends for such a long time.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about how we really, you know, body positivity, our, you know, our intro is like, bodies are fucking weird, man.
They're so weird.
Bodies are crazy. Bodies are so weird. Like, if you stopped and thought about your body for 3 seconds, you would realize how weird it is. It's just yeah. wild.
You would not believe the amount of poop that comes out of me. I have irritable bowel syndrome. Today, and I was telling Alyssa this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally fine when I'm in my apartment. It's safe. And then as soon as my butt hits the car seat, my insides just, like, they go to war with
Aww,
each other.
Poor baby.
Yeah. And just, like, the amount. It's amazing what comes out of me.
Yeah.
And just in terms of quantity.
But, you know, bodies are weird. And exactly. The largest organ in the human body, do you know what it is, Willow?
It's the skin.
Yes, it is.
I quizzed my 7th to 8th graders on that.
Oh, really? I don't remember when I learned that, but I remember that when I learned it, it was, like, mind-blowing, and I never forgot it.
It's a great fact.
It's a really good fact, because you don't think of the skin as being an organ.
No.
Ugh.
Organs are weird, squishy things inside of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, organs live inside of you. Weird.
Where there's also, like, the subdermal layer.
Yeah.
I had some kids try to argue that, and I was like, you're obviously way too smart for me.
So, because skin covers your body.
Yes.
And it's, like, the thing that...
The crust of the bread.
It's the crust of the bread. Thank you. I just can't... Whenever you wink at me, I'm taken aback. I'm so, like, charmed and disarmed. I don't know what to say next. I'm like, oh, a wink! I'm also done with my, glass of wine, so, which was actually 2 glasses, because I had mine and Will's.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, I don't like that.
So we'd like to do a series on skin, and this is not necessarily going to be, like, a chronological series, where, like,
yeah.
but certain episodes will be episodes that where we talk about skin.
Yeah.
And we'd like to start that out today mm-hmm. By talking about cellulite mm-hmm. and body roles, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Can confirm. Right. And I have a vision, and I think that you do too, where we'll sort of go through the body system.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, because the point of the show is, like, bodies.
Yeah.
And tackling bodies in certain spaces.
And learning how to rethink. think about your body.
Exactly. And how to radically accept and love bodies.
Yeah, when they are deemed
unlovable. Transgressive or unlovable, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, cellulite and body roles are two very relevant to today's, like, culture and market.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today.
So educate me on cellulite, because I know, like, a bullet point on it.
Yeah. And well, do you want to say what you know?
Okay.
This is how they on Sawbones, too, sometimes.
Oh, that's true. Oh, my God.
It's like Dr. Sidney. Like, Dr. Sidney, who's actually smart, turns to dumb Justin and is like, what do you know, huh? But then I won't know anything about body roles, so.
I'm not going to have anything particularly novel to say. We'll see. Okay, so cellulite is a secondary sex characteristic.
Did I teach you that, though?
No. I knew that before we talked about it.
Okay, good.
I think that's the only thing I can regurgitate.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. That's more than most people know.
Yeah, but I didn't know that until, like, the last maybe 3 years.
And yeah.
Like, I saw it with an illustration.
Yeah. I saw the same thing, maybe.
That fucking changed the game for me.
Yeah, I was wild because, I must have been, it was early in my Beloit career.
Okay.
So it was a while ago, and I saw, like, an infographic about cellulite as a secondary female sex characteristic.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, how did I not know this? How does nobody, like, tell us that it's 100% natural in your DNA, automatically in your body?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do anything wrong.
No.
It doesn't, like, be created by anything. It is naturally, inherently in your body.
Yeah.
It's just wild. Like, and so I'll talk about that, but yeah. It's really impressive.
And we'll post the graphic, because that changed.
Yeah, we'll post the graphic, and we'll also post plenty of links, which we're trying to, we got to do, we have our, like, plan to make, like, a library on our website for, like, recommended readings and, like, sources and topics and stuff. It's just been a time.
Yeah. And it's hard because, like, you know, I mean, maybe this is what both of us will get our PhD in, but, like, there's not a lot of material on radical body positivity.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and not to underestimate the value of, like, articles.
But there's a difference between, like, opinions and peer reviewed.
It's the gold standard.
Yeah, the gold standard is like peer reviewed information. And I think that's where the problem comes. And we had a conversation about various quantitative studies that could be done. And we have so many, you know, ideas and hopes and dreams about things that we want to, like, research and write. But there's so many hours in the day. But, yeah, but you know, the list of references that we provide is not always going to be peer-reviewed.
Right.
Because a lot of the things that we're doing are not necessarily, like, applicable.
Yeah, right. And, like, that goes back to, you know, like, how colonized is, like, our knowledge. And, like,
and it's so funny because, I mean, we spend so much of our lives thinking and talking about bodies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why we're doing this show.
Yeah.
And so it seems so strange to us that there wouldn't be peer-reviewed information about that kind of stuff. But, of course, there isn't.
Yeah.
But then we'll do it.
I'm really excited.
We'll be the peers.
Yeah. I'll peer-review you.
And I'll peer-review you.
Great. We can go to a conference, like at Starbucks.
Perfect.
Find a box to stand on. It's amazing. You'll just... You can find our arrest records.
I was telling someone that, like, I never want to go back to wearing, like, formal professional clothes.
Interesting.
Because I feel so free, like, not having to. Like, but I have, like, such a wardrobe of professional clothes.
You have a great wardrobe.
I have a very well-cultivated wardrobe. But, I was just like, I want to have a PhD, I want to be a super fucking smart genius doctor, and show up at a conference in, like, a romper.
And
yeah. Just be like, this is what I look like. Tattoos everywhere.
Exactly.
Here I am.
Right, and what fucking sucks is that you need that, you know, quote-unquote qualification. You need that piece of paper to say,
yeah.
look, I'm smart in your world.
I know.
Which is why I'm going to force you to rethink what it matters, what I look like.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I've demonstrated through my, you know, this is me thinking in the future.
Yeah.
I've demonstrated through my work and through, mm-hmm. like, my studies and through my life that I deserve to be here, that I'm smart enough to be here, that I've put in the work to do it.
Yeah.
And so why the fuck does what I'm wearing matter?
Right. Not to say that folks won't try to discredit you, but at least you checked the box.
At least I checked the box. Exactly. Okay. Let's talk about cellulite. So there's a lot going on here, and a lot of it is science-y. So science. When we post the resources, I recommend that you read them.
Sorry.
I did get some of this information genuinely from peer-reviewed medical journals.
Nice.
So we will post that link. Except that I got it from behind a paywall. So I don't know if... Well, maybe we can upload my PDF. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
So, also, my disclaimer, we are not science experts of any kind. There's a lot of, like...
A political science degree.
Yeah, there you go.
Like the 50% of the title.
I know. I always tell that to my dad. I'm like, you wanted me to be a scientist.
It makes for great jokes.
I get to say that, like, my sister and I are both scientists, even though she's a real scientist.
That's hilarious.
So a lot of what I'm about to talk about is very general, and so there are a lot of very specific hormonal and technical aspects of cellulite mm-hmm. that I'm not really going to get into, because everything is very, like, personal and, like, dependent on lots of different factors. So I'm going to be very general, and we're not going to dwell very much on the in-depth stuff, because we're not... fucking medical experts.
And we're not looking, like, at your DNA and, like, your makeup.
Exactly.
So it's not applicable.
So also I wanted to say, as I was starting to research this, it was just really disappointing, because I was just, like, Googling cellulite, right?
Yeah.
And everything that came up was how to get rid of your cellulite.
How to get rid of your secondary sex characteristics.
How to get rid of something that has literally been proven to be irremovable.
Yeah.
Where the longest, most effective way to remove cellulite is a super expensive laser surgery that only lasts a year. In a year, you see it again. Because it doesn't go away, because it's a part of your body. Because it's not something that you can get rid of, it's something you were born with. You didn't acquire it through life,
right.
You were born with it.
It's like typing in, like, what diet can I go on to get rid of my right arm?
Exactly! Exactly! That's exactly what it's like. This was something you were, if you have cellulite, you were born with it.
Absolutely.
Full stop. Mm-hmm. The end. And, like, not everybody has cellulite, but if you do, mm-hmm. you were born with it.
Yeah.
It's not something you did. It's not something you ate. It's not a bike ride you didn't go on. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You were born with it.
Yeah.
So, I also read something that was, like, people who suffer from cellulite.
Oh my god. I read that too!
Yeah, and, like, also one of these peer-reviewed articles I read was talking about the disease of cellulite.
I can fucking remember this.
And I was just
so,
like,
mad.
It's just so wild, because the way that we talk about it, that's what it is. It's completely socially constructed, where the way that we talk about it is completely based on how we have constructed it. And I'm going to get to that at the end. But all you need to know right now is that it's not something you suffer from. It's not a fucking disease. No. You were born with it.
It'd be like saying you suffer from arms.
You suffer from having a nose on your face. Like, you suffer from eyelashes. Okay, so here's a few bullet points of things to know.
Hit me with it.
Cellulite is the subcutaneous, so meaning under the skin, exactly. The subcutaneous tissue of the thighs is composed of three fats.
Okay.
Three different layers of fats. And these three layers of fat have two planes of connective tissue between them. And two planes of connective tissue between them.
Oh, between the three.
Between the three.
So the three is the bread, and then
the two is the egg salad, or the...
Right, I was going to say jelly, but that works too.
Or the hummus, or the...
Yeah, I see it.
Whatever.
Okay.
So, on the thighs of people born as women, I guess... The majority, the uppermost subcutaneous layer.
This one.
So you have three, and the one right at the top.
Your pointer finger.
If you're
following along.
So the one at the very top, consists of fat cell chambers. They're called standing fat cell chambers.
Okay.
And in average size, they are between 0.5 and 1.5 centimeters and are separated from each other by other bits of connective tissue. So okay. basically what that, it's kind of like Legos.
Yeah.
It's basically little Legos building up this,
layer. Okay.
And, these little standing fat cell chambers are cellulite.
And are they round?
They're like round, square-ish. Like
squovel?
Like squovels, sure. Oh. So the fat cell... So I'm sorry, the more exact way to say it, because it is these standing fat cell chambers, and then the papilla?
It's spell it.
P-A-P-I-L-L-A-E. But that's also the British spelling.
God damn it, the Brits. Okay.
So
it's a papilla.
It's a papilla, sure. And the papilla adipose. And remember we talked about adipose in the first episode about how adipose is fat tissue.
Yes.
So those standing fat cell chambers from the uppermost subcutaneous layer and the papillae adipose, when under pressure, they change shape and they change the appearance of the skin surface.
Because it has to be flexible.
Exactly.
Or else we would break.
So there's this thing called the pinch test. And so I guess on white women, it is typically in the thighs, whereas in other races it collects like maybe on the stomach or maybe on the butt, or like it depends on.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And so there's this thing called the pinch test that they do on babies. That they've done on babies for this test, where you literally just pinch some of the skin of the thigh together, and you can see cellulite.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you're literally...
We love babies.
If you love babies and you love babies' butts, they have cellulite.
You're perfect.
And so
that... Don't buy this fucking firming cream.
I know. It's fucking ridiculous. Because it's not a dermatological thing. It's not a, what's the word? Surface level...
Abrasion. I don't know.
What's the word? Like, all right, I'm not going to think of the word, whatever. I've given up. But it's not,
it's not some temporary affliction.
It's in your skin.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, it's not topical. It's not something that you can treat topically. It is in your skin.
Right.
So it's just, it's ridiculous.
And that's, like, way deeper than, like, a tattoo would go.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's ridiculous. But, so what that means is that they change the appearance of the skin surface, and they change it even more as you get older. So, like, older women have even more cellulite.
And
it's mostly because as you age, the skin thins, and then that layer becomes more prominent.
You know what's amazing is...
Tell me.
Cellulite is a noted characteristic in folks with EDS.
Really?
Because there's an excess of collagen.
That's right.
Your skin is so soft... And then oftentimes your skin can sort of like really easily pull away from your body.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to when
fun.
You...
Fun.
I know.
Do you want mine since you've just been sitting there?
Thank you. I finished my peach ale and I was just so parched. but yeah, right, like similar to how older folks, their skin gets a little stretchy.
Yeah.
That's, that can be a characteristic of EDS.
Yeah. Okay, so some major takeaways from the articles that I studied.
Yeah.
The word was first used in the 1920s.
Oh!
So it's not even...
With the flappers and birth control.
So it's not even 100 years old yet. Like,
wow.
This is like a new... People alive have existed before the word cellulite was invented.
For a long time.
Like, and to be clear, cellulite is an invented thing.
Yes.
This is something that was totally normal and totally, like, unquestioned before 1920.
Yep.
So, it's completely fake, nothing's wrong with your body, move on.
And what, they realized that they could market products?
Exactly, yeah.
To women?
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm not sure if I talk about it in here, but I'm pretty sure it was invented in France.
Damn it, France.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to that. So, it is, like... considered a quote-unquote structural alteration in the skin. So it's like, well, I already described it. You know, the layers.
Structural alteration? Doesn't that imply that, but is that off of like,
Well, it's different than people who don't have it.
But that's coming from the frame of medicine where you study men and then women are.
Oh, that's very true, yeah. It's an alteration compared to the norm of men who typically do not have cellulite.
And who were studied for the entirety of medical history up until even today.
Yeah, as the quote-unquote norm. And then it's also described as having a orange peel appearance, which I think is kind of fun. Totally. Like, you can visualize it, right?
Yeah, the little dimples.
Exactly. So, in this article I read, it's wild. They call it, like I said, the disease of cellulite, but they also talk about it as, like, they say, like, it is naturally in your body.
Okay, like, so maybe they're aware of, like, the cultural...
Maybe. I don't know. Like, it's hard to parse because, like, the whole point of the article is, like, this is part of your body. We pinched the butts of babies. Like, we know that you're born with it. We know that it's a part of your body, but also it's a disease. Like, I don't know. It's just very confusing.
Yeah.
And then what I found as the quote-unquote cause of cellulite, bear with me, it is the abnormal hyperpolymerization of connective tissue and microcirculatory alteration. And, of course, abnormal meaning as compared to men, right?
Yeah. This whole thing you spit out there was purely... to men.
Yeah, exactly. It's and so I'll talk about the circulatory, actually, that I think is really interesting, because this is really weird, but it was really interesting to learn that areas of your body that have cellulite have decreased temperature. So my question is, like, so what it says is that it has a restricted blood flow 35% lower than non-affected regions.
Really?
And so my question is, like, does cellulite work to cool your body, maybe? Or does...
That'd be sick.
That's what I'm... I don't know. But but that would be my question, is that it has restricted blood flow, so it's cooling.
Do you think if we were to talk with biology and evolution...
Mm-hmm.
And... Look. Oh, yeah. If we were to ask, like, you know, why did you give what we recognize as, like, chromosomally women,
sure,
you know, cellulite as opposed to men? Would it be, like, because, like, women necessitate having fat in their thighs and butt and stomach to bear children?
Yeah, women do naturally have more fat than men. And less musculature on trend. Like, obviously, there are men who have more fat and, like, women who have more muscle. But, like, but on trend, women have less muscle and more fat. And from my understanding, although I'm happy to be corrected, from my understanding, it's, like, to do with childbearing. It's to do, I mean, as everything, as everything is, it's to do with, like, preparing your body to raise and then care for a child.
And so the reason why, you know, chromosomally understood men don't have that cool feature is because, like, they weren't built in mind of having that extra oomph to carry a child.
I would assume.
That makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me also, but... but I didn't do great in biology, so...
I don't think I've taken a biology class.
I took a biology class my freshman year of high school.
Ooh.
And got a very low B.
A low B? I hate you.
I have never gotten a C on anything in my life. On any class. God. I've gotten C's on, like, grades and stuff, but in a class, I've only gotten A's and B's. Wow. Like a boss.
Oh my God.
Which, like... By the way, from my high school, I was led to believe that, like, B's were the end of the fucking world.
That's hilarious.
So every time I got a B, I felt like a piece of shit.
I don't even think... I mean, unless it was an art class, I probably didn't get a B in anything.
Every time I got an A, I was just like, oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to get.
Right.
So it's not special.
Oh, that's so toxic.
It's extremely toxic.
They do actually... In my classes, they've done a lot of work to be like... Listen, students nowadays expect an A as, like that standard.
Yep.
And, like, you know, we just want...
I do, in fact, expect an A.
Right. And so they're saying...
And, like, I've gotten them.
Oh, my God. They're saying, you know, like, we just want to prepare you that an A means that you've mastered the subject, right? And that you were above your peers. So, like, just don't expect it in the same way that you got in undergrad.
Also because, like, grades in grad school don't fucking mean anything.
That's so weird.
Like, you're not going anywhere. I mean, unless you, like, go and get another degree. But, like,
that's true.
But I don't even think your transcripts from grad school matter if you're going to, like, another program. Like, I don't even think that matters. Like,
no. I mean, even as, like, right, because I want to switch into a, or I want to either switch into a or go to a PhD program next.
Yeah.
Nobody has told me that the grades matter.
They don't. I don't think that they do at all.
Yeah.
As long as you can, like, come up with, you can show your work.
Yeah.
You can say, here's my research, here's what I've done.
Right.
Nobody gives a fuck what your transcript looks like.
No. Which is great for me.
It is really good for you. It's disappointing for me, who has worked very hard to get a very high GPA.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. All right. Oh, right. So what I said about different races having different cellulite locations.
That's
so white women are more likely to have cellulite in general. Latinx women, or I guess Latinx people who develop cellulite, are more likely to develop cellulite on their hips. Hmm. And that's what I got. I don't know why I didn't go into other races, but that's what the research says. And then I also think it said like Asian women basically display no cellulite. Like, I mean, not on trend. Not as much as white women do.
I can't wait for just like all of these statistics to become meaningless.
Which is not to say that if you're an Asian woman with cellulite, you're wrong or bad in any way.
Honestly, it just means that the research is bad.
That's all it means.
But I can't wait till, like, we're all, like, a multi-ethnic society. And this...
That's what I was reading about. So I've started reading this book called Angry White Men by Michael Kimmel. Is that his name? Michael Kimmel, yeah.
Nice.
And it's just so fucking good. But it was also written pre-Trump. It was written in 2013.
He knew.
And it's just wild. It's so incredible because he talks to all of these white supremacists and stuff. And, like, they're all using the N-word to talk about Obama and, like, all this kind of shit. But whatever. The book is really good. And in it, he talks about, like, what you were just saying. What were you just saying?
Sorry, I mean how cute Hamilton was.
Fuck.
I was talking about how we're all going to be a multi-ethnic society.
Oh, right. He was talking about how by 2045, the majority of people in America will be non-white.
Yep.
And the generation, like, generations that exist today will be, like, generations that have been born already will be the first majority-minority generation in the U.S.
Right, and it's, like, even on the U.S. census, like, they don't really...
Yeah. Oh, well, the census is fucking bullshit. That's an entirely different thing, like...
All right. But in research, it's, like, they don't have a good way for understanding folks who didn't, like, only marry in their bloodline.
Yeah.
Right? Which is just so outside of reality.
We're still having, like, shitty census bullshit with, like, gay couples. Like, the census... Whatever. Nonsense. But also, the West Wing episode about the census is so good.
I believe you.
I love the West Wing. Okay. So, moving on. Adrenaline has been linked to cellulite. Can you believe this? So, the hypothalamic centers in your brain... Hypothalamic centers in your brain provoke reactions affected by frustration, anxiety, depression, and stress, and they can create cellulite, according to this research.
The hippocampus?
The hypothalamic centers.
There's so many parts of the brain.
And so what interests me then is, like, I don't know if they did, like, a causation correlation, because, like, I don't know... I would assume that as you have a larger body, you have more cellulite.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me.
Yeah.
And if you are, like, stress eating or depression eating.
Or having a kid.
Or having a fucking kid. Like, whatever. I'm not sure that we can necessarily say that, like, adrenaline creates cellulite.
Yeah.
But there has been a link, at least, at this point.
You know what's interesting is... So, EDS is linked to, like, an auto nervous system issue, which deals with an overactive adrenal gland.
Yeah. If you don't know what EDS is, go listen to our first episode.
Yeah, exactly. you know, so we're seeing all of these correlations of...
Like I said, bodies are fucking weird.
They're so weird, and really, there's, I mean, nobody understands them.
No, nobody. There's not a single person on Earth who can claim to fully understand the human body.
No, and even, like, the experts in the field, like, it's all working knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like, in 10 years, it's going to be radically different.
That's something that I love about Sawbones, is that they prove time and time again that the history of medicine is just fucking guessing.
That's true. I do love that lesson.
It's just throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Oh my gosh, Alyssa was helping me switch my laundry over today, and she was, like, loudly talking about Sawbones, and this really...
super friendly person.
Yeah, she just, like, came over, and she's like, hi, like, I'm sorry, you know, I overheard you.
That podcast sounds so interesting, what is that?
And we told her about Sawbones.
And then it turns out she was from my hometown, which was funny.
Like, you guys lived on the same road?
We lived in the same exact area, yeah. It's pretty wild, but anyway... Go listen to Sawbones. Turn this off right now and go listen to Sawbones.
Wait 20 minutes.
Okay. And so, like I said, they find this in babies. So they do the pinch test on babies' like butts and thighs. And when you pinch the skin together, you can see the cellulite. So
I wonder what that looks like for intersex kids.
That's a very good question. Well, you know... Women, people born as women can have no cellulite. People born as men can have cellulite. True. It's not a hard and fast rule.
Right.
It's just that the majority of people born as women have cellulite, and the majority of people born as men, from my understanding, don't.
And I do know that, like, folks who decide to transition from female to male, their cellulite does go away.
Decrease with testosterone.
Or, I mean, like, at least with my intimate experience.
Sure. From your personal perspective. Your personal experiences. Sure. That makes sense. And then, like I also said, women's dermis is, like, thinner. And so it allows the cellulite to show. So if you did the pinch test on a man, his skin is a lot thicker than a woman's. And so even if he does have these...
Oh, yeah.
So even if he does have these cells that we recognize as cellulite, we might not see them in a pinch test because men's dermis is thicker.
You know what? I'm sorry. I feel like I keep derailing you.
I literally don't care.
Okay, great.
This is my third glass of wine.
You know, I have had a running theory that the reason why a lot of female-bodied people wear makeup is because that their skin is thinner. So, like, under your eyes.
Oh, and you see everything more.
Yeah, which is why it's, like, all, like, fucking veiny and blue
color
around your eyes. And for guys, it's fucking not.
That is so, so important.
So
oh, my God. That makes so much sense to me. Also, by the way, I've, like, stopped wearing makeup.
Good for you.
I just, like... the other day when I went to work, I was like, am I going to put on makeup? And I was like, no.
I'm just going to sweat it off anyway.
And so today when I went to work, I was like, I'm not going to put on makeup. Who cares? People aren't looking at me anyway. I just stand behind a blender.
That's fair.
And so then as women age, their skin becomes even thinner. And so cellulite and veins and all that kind of stuff becomes way more... visual and way more apparent as you age. Okay, now we're going to talk about this idea of just real quick touch on this idea of like solving or curing or removing cellulite. We said it at the beginning, but solving or curing or removing cellulite, it's not a thing. It doesn't work.
So not a thing.
It is a natural genetic part of your body. There is a laser surgery that you can get. I believe from my research, from my recollection, it was like $7,000 per leg.
What?
Yeah.
It only lasts for a year?
And it only lasts a year. It's one year before it has to be done again. And so there are all
I bet it doesn't feel great.
Oh, I would assume not.
And they feel like shit.
Most of these, like, topical things that hypothetically scrub away cellulite, you can find these in, like, any Walmart, like, Target, wherever. There are all these things that claim to scrub away your cellulite. They have never proven useful in any test ever. They've never proven useful. Creams and stuff that claim to eliminate your cellulite, these things actually work to toughen your skin.
Oh.
So the reason that you see it is because you're thin as skin and your skin is thin. And so the idea that you toughen your skin and it does work to make it more difficult to see the cellulite, it's still there. It hasn't gone away.
You know how they have pore filler for your face?
Yeah.
You
mean like primer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I once overheard this conversation in Walgreens and it has stayed with me for years.
Hit it.
Where they have, it's like a pore filler But it's for your thighs.
Okay, yeah.
For cellulite.
That, I mean, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's like a makeup or?
It's like a topical cream.
Yeah,
but
so it must just thicken your skin.
But I don't think it, like, I imagined it, like, filling in the holes. Mm. Like it fills in the pores of your face.
Yeah, but it's filling in the pores of your face with a substance. It's not.
Yeah, like some sort of, like, silicone.
Yeah. It's not erasing your pores.
No.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there are two really good articles that we're definitely going to post because I have the links, and they're very, very, very good. The first is called Myths and Facts About Cellulite. It's written by Amanda McMillan, and it's on health.com. And it's basically just, like, a good, like, outline of things that I've talked about, like, yeah, things you need to know. And then this is a, like, ridiculously good article. It's called Cellulite Isn't Real. This Is How It Was Invented. It was written by Kelsey Miller on May 14th of this year. It's on Refinery 29. It's an incredible history of how cellulite came to be a thing. So she says, like hysteria or the vapors, cellulite is a condition whipped up out of nothing and used to pathologize women. The difference is, those other afflictions have long since been recognized as fraudulent.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a ridiculously good article.
But cellulite is so, quote-unquote, new.
Yeah.
We're still in the peak of it being, like, such an issue.
I mean, we dealt with the idea of hysteria, which, by the way, an excellent Sawbones episode on hysteria.
So good. You have to listen to it.
I had no idea that that's what hysteria was before. Yeah. I listened. It's wild. It's really, really good.
I love the lists of, like, things that define you as, like, having hysteria.
Yeah.
Like, reading books.
Yeah. Basically, doing anything as a woman that a man doesn't want you to do, you have hysteria. You're hysterical. Yeah.
They
whatever.
Just make up reasons.
But, you know, all of these things have been, we know that these are just sexist inventions meant to control women, so why can't we realize that cellulite is a sexist invention meant to control women?
Right.
Yeah. That's what I got.
Amazing.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess, like, what I wanted to weigh in on this is, like, one, like, talking as, like, a skinny person.
Yeah.
Like, and if, like, you're not comfortable with numbers, then, like, skip ahead 15 seconds, right? But, like, I weigh, like, 105 pounds and I have cellulite.
You weigh 105 pounds?
I do.
I literally weigh more than twice of you.
Yeah.
I'm twice the person you are, Willow.
I will say I'm not doing very well with my food consumption. Yeah. This is a low weight for me.
It seems extremely low, but also I'm a fatty, so what do I know?
I
don't understand what, like, normal weights are for people, because
isn't it? Let me tell you. Like, a healthy weight for me is, like, 115, 120.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense, because my doctor told me a healthy weight for me is, like, 170.
LOL.
But also, I'm extremely healthy, so fuck off. I did go get a physical.
Good for me.
I got a physical. I'm totally fine. Everything's fine. I'm a very healthy person.
And I am not. right, okay, but as this, you know, very small human, I have cellulite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to give sort of, like, a PSA, like, and I hope that, like, maybe coming from my perspective, like, it'll mean more.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, when I bend over.
Yeah.
Like, say I'm sitting in a chair, I bend over, Hamilton is at my feet, like, the skin on my stomach rolls over. And, like, if you imagine that your body is covered in cloth, right? Let's say your body's covered in cloth and, like, you're standing upright, the cloth is taut.
Yeah.
And then as you bend over,
Needs to stretch.
It needs to stretch and it needs to fold.
Yeah.
But if you were to imagine that same cloth while you were bent over as stretched, while you were bent, when you straightened back up, there wouldn't be enough to go around. And, like, you know, your skin would rip out of your body.
Exactly, yeah.
That's
why your skin needs to be so flexible.
Yeah. And it's amazing that our skin can accommodate us.
It's super wild. It's great.
Through, like, all these periods of life.
Yep.
What?
I just had a very visceral memory. There's, like, lots of pictures online of people post a lot of weight loss where their skin is just...
That is true.
Hanging.
It doesn't go, it doesn't slurp back in very
Not
well.
Always. Sometimes it does.
The younger you are.
The younger, yeah. Okay, yeah. But that's an off topic. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. So I wanted.
By the way, this wine gets better the more I drink of it.
Imagine. You know, it's the same thing with Franzia. So I just wanted to touch on a bit, sort of the bit, like, what is it? Models don't even look like models.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, growing up, like, having an eating disorder, that was really hard for me to sort of, like, wrap my head around.
Yeah.
And so, like, one, we all know that, like, models are getting, like, crazy retouched in Photoshop.
Oh, for sure. You know, that's actually one of the reasons I really like, this brand. I don't know if they sell more than lingerie.
Is it Aerie?
Yeah.
Did you know that Aerie is actually American Eagle?
Is it seriously?
Yeah.
That's wild because, well, I've never shopped at American Eagle. Are they
like... have, like, triple zeros and that's it.
Mm. Yuck. But Aerie is so impressive.
Aerie's great.
Every time I see an Aerie commercial, A-E-R-I-E.
E-R-I-E, yeah.
Every time I see an Aerie commercial, I just feel, like, good.
Me too!
It's just good.
They're just real.
They're just very real and very happy and very positive and, like, yeah. This is what my body looks like and I love it. And I'm like, me too, bitch!
Exactly. I truly love her campaign. And, like, even though... I think they're just doing it as, like, you know, this is, like, a marketing thing.
I mean, great. It works.
And I think it's important.
And I would prefer that you market things to me than to the triple zero.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm biased, obviously, because I love
myself. I
mean,
I get information everywhere. Everything's marketed to me. Like,
that's very true,
yeah. Let's
give
some shit to you. okay.
Teach me.
So... the models that you see retouched, a lot of the times they take off between 5 to 10 pounds.
Really?
In the retouching process.
That's so wild. How do they do that? Just by, like, the sides, or...?
So, yeah, so they'll trim off a lot. If you're familiar with Photoshop, there's a tool called Liquify.
Yep.
And it's just, like, basically, like, imagine that you're taking a 2D image of somebody and you could just poke in and poke out whatever parts of them that you want.
I saw a really horribly Photoshopped image the other day that just made me laugh my ass off.
What was the bad part of it?
It was a, like, it was like the wrapper of an underwear package made for men.
Okay.
And it was this guy from, like, the shoulders down and just his back, the shoulders down, and you could tell that waist up was a different body than waist down. Waist up was like tan and muscular and strong, and waist down was like pale and flimsy.
Skipped leg day.
It looked like they skipped leg day. It was so funny.
That's wild.
It was so funny. I was like, someone's getting fired.
Oh my god. I did 2 years of like this really intensive photography program.
Yeah.
And so for the first year we predominantly focused on film photography and how to develop and like how to cultivate your eye. And then for the second year, we still did film, but a lot of it was learning how to retouch and do, like, photo shoots for, like, babies and engagements and, like, graduation. And it was very commercialized.
That's how you make money.
I mean, it's a technical school. Like, that's the point. And I can absolutely tell you that, like, when you are 300%... So when you're 300% zoomed into a face, it's not a fucking face anymore.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Right? Which is, like, how those mistakes happen because you lose sight of what's
like
real.
That hilarious picture of that woman whose arm is, like, down to her fucking knee.
Yes! Right? And that's how that happens because those are people who are so up close, right? They have giant computer screens.
That's They're so embarrassing. So
it's so awkward. Which is why, like, one, you should always make a duplicate layer of your image first so that you can switch back and forth. So you remember what a human looks like.
Thanks, Willow.
You're welcome. But in so many of these photos, right, like, you know, let's say that, like, you're not tan in a particular area. Or, like, you know, you're not the same color all over. Imagine, right?
Yeah.
They can isolate
literally it. Me. You shouldn't look at... whatever, it's fine.
Bitch, those tan lines. They can just take a part of your body and then, like, change the color of it. Right?
Yeah. Which is, oh my god, that was that big thing. Well, I don't know how big it was, really,
are
but...
Are you doing a hand model?
Yes! That hand model, they just dyed... They changed the skin color. Obviously, it was a white hand model.
There's two white hand models.
There's two white hand models.
And one is white.
And they left one at white as white, and they tried to make the other one appear black, but they didn't, like... They didn't lighten the palm.
didn't know that the palm of, like,
yeah, because if you've met a fucking black person, like,
their palms are more pink.
Yeah, their palms don't have as much melanin in them, and so their palms aren't as dark as the rest of their body, and so it's fucking idiotic. So you can tell that it's totally photoshopped because their palm is the same color as the rest of them. It's so dumb.
It was hilarious. And, like,
it's just an excuse not to hire a black hand model.
Exactly.
It's so fucked up.
Oh my god. Right, and it's like, how many people do these images have to pass through?
I know. How did none of those people know that black people don't have as much melanin in their palms?
Fucking. So, okay, so there's a lot of retouching that gets done. They take off all of your hair that isn't supposed to be there.
Oh, got it. Like body hair.
But yeah, or duh. Like, you know, like, what is this called?
Oh, like your temple, yeah. Your sideburns kind of thing.
They take off your sideburns. I mean, like, when you go into the photo shoot, you're already supposed to be, like, perfectly waxed.
Yeah.
And they take off more, and they make all of the, you know, unfavorable colors go away.
Yeah, kind of even out your skin tone. Mm-hmm. You're not greasy, you're not too pink, you're not whatever. Yeah.
I was looking at an article about Victoria's Secret models. Right.
Which are, like, I would say, modernly, and at least in the last, like, decade, mm-hmm. what we consider to be models.
Yeah.
Like, they are the most famous, most prevalent models of
Candace.
Our...
Candace? She's my favorite, right? Like, I totally subscribe.
Yeah.
So, a handful of things. One, so the models that you see, like, let's say, like, walking a runway, mm-hmm. Particularly if it's, like, a lingerie brand, right? They're going for a different thing if it's, like, high fashion.
For sure.
But also, like, the emancipated... What's the word? Emancipated?
What are you talking about?
Emaciated.
Oh, got it. I was like, what?
I know, I'm like, 19, so no.
Fuck Abe Lincoln, though.
True. right, there's this, like, emaciated look that's really desirable in high fashion. But in Victoria's Secret, right... Obviously, maybe not obviously, you have padding in the boobs.
Yeah.
You have padding in the butt.
Yep.
What you're supposed to do is, so for a week before the show, you don't eat any carbs.
Yuck.
You're mainly on an all-juice diet, but you also have to be careful that, like,
what are your boobs like when you're on an all-juice diet?
Your diarrhea.
Oh my god.
You have to be careful that you're not eating, like, leafy greens, because that'll make you gassy.
Okay.
Right, so it has to be all very, like, calming stuff, like no dairy... and also, like, within the 48 hours before you walk, no water.
No water?
Because
you retain it?
Yeah. So, one, it can cut from 5 to 10 pounds of water weight.
That, like, the fact that you would want, I mean, I love the idea of being a model, right? I think I'd be a great model.
You'd be a great
model. I'm beautiful, and it would be a great job. But, like... The idea that you would put yourself through something that is obviously damaging as not drinking water.
Mm-hmm. You can have a seizure.
Yeah, like you can do serious lasting damage to your body by not drinking water.
Yeah, and it's
you
the industry.
You need water!
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah. So you don't do that, and then also it sort of creates, let's see, I wrote in this great word, it creates a shrink-wrapped appearance.
Mm.
So this is a big thing.
That sounds gross to me, but...
I know. So, like, imagine sort of, like, the photos of, like, bodybuilders that you see.
Ooh! So creepy.
Throwback to the time that I dated a bodybuilder.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah, you know how he
did. Did he look like a weirdo?
I mean, like, it did it for me at the time. He got me by, we were standing in my living room, and he literally did curls with my body.
Yeah, that would do it.
I was done. It was, and he drived a muscle car, like, and it was a whole thing.
Oh, man, what's the, I'm not gonna remember it. I'm not gonna remember it, and it's gonna make me so sad.
Describe around it.
I was watching a comedian. Oh, I want to say it's Daniel Sloss, but I don't know that it is. But anyway, go to Netflix right now.
Yeah.
And add Daniel Sloss's live shows to your Netflix queue,
mm-hmm.
because they're incredible. There's two live shows. I've never laughed so hard in my fucking life.
Yeah.
Like, just incredible. And he makes some jokes that make me feel a little uncomfortable,
mm.
but he talks about in a very effective way, mm-hmm. leaning into discomfort and comedy.
Okay.
And I think it's very effective.
Good to recognize.
Yeah, so I think it's very effective. There are some, and he says, you know, he says at the end of one of his shows, it's okay for you to be offended, mm-hmm. but if you're going to be offended at all of it. Because you're only picking and choosing things that are offensive to you.
True.
And I thought that was very interesting. Hmm. So I really recognize that, and I think that's really cool. But go watch that. But
okay, I dated a bodybuilder.
He was talking about. He made this joke about how, or I think it was him. I really want it to be him.
Okay, I believe you.
What? Okay, whatever. A comedian, yeah. Potentially Daniel Sloss, made this joke about this guy who just, he didn't recognize this guy was a bodybuilder because he was so short. He's really short, but he's really thick. And yeah. He's black, and this white guy is, like, drunk and trying to start a fight. This white guy walks up to him and like, bumps him and, like, tries to start a fight with him. And this black bodybuilder who, like, bodybuilders, like, can lift ridiculous weights. Like over...
three times their
weight. So I think the, like, world record is somewhere, like, 1,000 pounds.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere around there. And so this dude, like, picks up this, like... 200-pound white guy just picks him up above his head and just drops him.
Amazing.
And he's drunk, so he lands on his face and breaks his nose and whatever.
He deserved it.
Exactly. He deserved it. But it's really, really funny to just bodybuilders in general, I think. Really.
Yeah.
Just all of that muscle, like, mm-hmm. it drives me crazy. Like, I think they look weird.
Yeah.
But... whatever, I can't lift shit, so you do you.
Yeah, so, like, for, like, a little bit of context for, like, where I was in my life. So his nickname was Dom. So you know that my opener, when he sent me...
obviously you're not here, you can't see, but I'm giving Roland a very interesting look.
A very knowing look. So my opener, when he texted me and said, like, hey, it's Dom, I said, hey, it's Sub.
Yep.
But, it's actually not the first time I've used that, because I met another guy whose name was Dom, but he was mortified, so it wasn't, he was fine.
Oh, so it wasn't as good.
No. But it's okay, I got into another bad situation because of that. but, David's bodybuilder, he actually broke up with me because he didn't have enough time to go to the gym.
That's hilarious.
He went for 3 hours a day.
That's hilarious.
And he worked, like, 30 plus hours a week.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he had to break up with me so that he could make it big with his YouTube channel.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah.
Happy for him.
I did.
It obviously... well, it worked out for you, so...
Oh, thank God. I just... sometimes we need simple things in life. Like,
right. Sometimes it's good to remember that relationship that you left.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels good.
And, like, you know, I enjoyed the muscle car. Like...
what kind of car?
What are those called? Oh, it was a beautiful black Mustang.
Oh.
And it was a manual. I know.
Wow.
And he used to do this thing where he,
if you can drive stick shifts, worked your way into my heart.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
He used to race motorcycles.
Wow. All right, I get it.
I know, it's the whole thing. And so he would do this thing where we would go on long drives, either on his motorcycle
or in his Mustang.
And he would do this thing where he would be going so fucking fast, and then he would downshift and then shift into the other lane of traffic and then go super fast and, like,
weave around. That sounds very exciting.
It was very exciting. I mean, we would go for 10-hour motorcycle trips and, like, you know, it was all, like, guttural. Like,
yeah.
There was no, like, you know, like...
intellectual.
There's zero intellectual.
Compatibility.
Except, no. It was, like... you know, but that's what I needed then.
Yeah.
Anyway. shrink wrap.
I'm really bad at keeping Willow on topic, especially because I'm more than halfway through this bottle of wine. I'll see if I can finish it before we stop.
Oh my God. Also, we both have had, like, such rich lives. Like, there's so many...
there's so much to talk about.
Yes. How handy that we have a podcast.
How handy.
Okay. Shrink-wrapped appearance. So basically, like, imagine, like, there's muscles, and usually, you know, you're drinking water, and, like, there's some fucking casing outside of the muscles. But
yeah.
If you dehydrate yourself to a really unsafe level, then it tightens the skin around your muscles, and it illuminates them, so it makes them really obvious.
It makes your muscles obvious?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Because it sort of, like, gets rid of the layer.
Oh, because it's getting rid of your water weight. Okay.
Exactly. So the same thing flies for, like, models who walk on the runway.
You know there are pills that do that? There are pills that get that drop your water weight.
Like a diuretic?
No, it's like a, it's like, I don't remember what it is. It's like a specific.
Is it like a sodium pill?
I don't know what's in it, but it's okay. A specific, like, water retention pill that you're supposed to take.
Sounds dumb.
It's idiotic from my perspective, but it's a pill that's literally supposed to get rid of all your water that exists.
Bitch, that's we're 75% water. Okay. Shrink-wrapped appearance. You know, you're not eating anything. Your shits are just liquid. You're having a terrible time.
That's
you
horrible.
Feel like shit. You're dizzy. I'm sure, like, as somebody who's, like, been to the hospital for dehydration and, like, you know.
And then you're probably being treated like shit, shoved into outfits and, like,
yeah,
being critiqued on every single aspect of your body.
Yeah. Every time you stand, it's black and you see spots.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're going to vomit.
Someone shoves you in a pair of underwear and complains about the way your hips look, like.
Oh, I'm
even though you're, like, sure. Skin and bone.
Exactly. Yeah. So, just. It goes, all of this is to say that the, you know, the beautiful women that are so easy to idolize.
Sure.
Even after they do all of that shit, then they're taken and they're still photoshopped and they're still, you know, everything is moved around and like they
don't
look like
that. I know, can you believe that? Like you give someone like, who's like a really it person right now? I don't know.
Lupita?
Sure, let's take Lupita Nyong'o. Shit, I just rewatched Black Panther and I fucking lost my shit. That's such a good movie.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm so excited.
Are you kidding? It's on Netflix now.
I know.
I saw it in theaters and I lost my shit. And then when they put it on Netflix, I watched it and I was like, it's just as good out of theaters. Like, it's.
I can't wait.
That scene. Oh, well, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
That scene where.
It's just very. It's ridiculously impressive. Not only in, like, the story, but, like, the cinematography.
I'm so
like,
excited.
I'm such a cinematography fucking nerd.
And it's all natural hair.
It's so good. Ugh. It's just. It's
important, too.
Oh, yeah, it's super important, and it's, like, the highest-grossing Marvel film ever.
Yes.
And it's just, it's ridiculous. Which, also, my question is, like, why is the highest-grossing Marvel film on Netflix, but I can't get the fucking OG Captain America on Netflix? That's all I want! I just want the OG Captain America. Give it to me! Also, I would kill for all of the Iron Man films to be on Netflix. The Iron Man films are, like, Robert Downey Jr. is the best Iron Man. Like, you could not have hired a single better person to be
That's
Iron Man.
True, because he's Iron Man in his soul.
He is Iron Man. In the same way that Chris Evans is Captain America. Like,
aren't they getting rid of him? Or is it
have
Superman?
Have you seen Infinity War?
No.
Okay, let's not talk about it.
No, they're getting rid of Superman, and they're switching him out with a black dude.
That's what
And the whites are very upset.
I heard that that was a rumor. I didn't hear that that was... I heard that that was a rumor. I haven't heard, because who owns Superman right now?
Dear God.
It's not Sony. It's Paramount. Is it Paramount? Someone owns Superman, and it's not DC.
Really?
Is it?
Listen, I literally know nothing.
I have not heard any official confirmation that the next Superman is black.
I probably just read shit that was screenshots.
Although, I've heard this argument before that, like, given the fact that Superman gets his power from the yellow sun, he should have more melanin.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, the idea, like, he absorbs his power from Earth's yellow sun, and so mm-hmm. he should have more melanin, so he should be black.
Is his counterpart Lois?
Lois Lane, yeah.
I've never seen a Superman movie.
Let's make a gay Superman who falls in love with Lois Lane.
Yes! Oh my god. Anyway, okay.
Off of superheroes.
Now we're back.
our show should just be called Tangents with Willow and Alyssa.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The people that you see everywhere, right? Like, these images that we're, like, assaulted with.
Yeah, of models and, like,
not real.
Famous people, yeah.
They're not fucking real.
No, they're completely fake. Like,
even the photos that that I post on Instagram.
Oh, sure.
I'm not
we have filters, like.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Lighting.
I always use filters to make my face look better. Like,
oh, this is a ruddy face. There's
exactly.
A lot of
I'm
colors.
Very pink, yeah.
Yeah. I have a new zone on my chin. This is new. I feel like I'm getting old. So it's a dry zone on
okay.
my chin. never happened to me before.
That's interesting. I usually have dry zones on my forehead, not on my chin.
Yeah, and it's itchy, but I'm trying to just, like, soak it in more moisturizer.
Yeah, just use more moisturizer.
Yeah. So basically, everybody's giving, you know, a better version of themselves.
Oh, all the time.
So it's, like, so important to just be, like, gentle with yourself when you're real and you're seeing yourself.
Yeah, like, you cannot compare yourself to people who have been hired because of what their body looks like.
True.
And are then...
because they won the genetic lottery.
Yeah, they won the genetic lottery, and they're being put through, like, what I would call torture.
Absolutely.
And they're still being photoshopped. Mm-hmm. Like, you absolutely cannot compare your normal human body to someone who is being malnourished and kept from water and, like, on this, like, what is a very intense, I would assume, exercise regime.
Oh, it's horrific. And, like, have you ever looked up, like, Victoria's Secret, like, body buster workout?
No. But you know, there are also things, I think that's also another interesting topic, is, like, the things that in femininity and feminine bodies that we choose to, accentuate, like breasts and boobs, or breasts and butts.
Yeah.
But
and it's,
I think,
like, slimming and trimming.
Yeah, it's very much the hourglass shape that we think about, without, of course, having any fat on you at all, right?
It's fat only for the butt and the tits.
Exactly. And even then, you can't have cellulite.
No. Oh, but also, gotta get those lip implants.
I know. You know what? Those looks, there's a lot of plus size models I follow on Instagram who just all have these beautiful implants, lip implants, and, or not like implants, like injections, like those temporary injections.
Yeah. You know, those physically hurt me when I see them.
I think they look so good. They look so beautiful.
Maybe
it's
because I'm seeing them on skinny bitches where it's ow.
Maybe.
Like, your face is not meant.
Oh, maybe that's why. I only see them on fat women.
Yeah, you'll have to show me photos.
But, I mean, I don't give a shit what you put in your body, but be smart.
Yeah, we don't know what that stuff does.
I mean, we'll eventually get to talking about, like, body modification on this show.
Yeah, and I can't wait.
I know, it's going to be really, really good, because we have plenty of stuff to talk about, but...
Mm-hmm. I really want to talk about corsets.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's really, really cool. It's, wow, there's such a rich history there.
I
like,
know.
It's really fascinating. Especially because, like, for a long time, that was something that women really wanted. Like, women really wanted corsets. It wasn't necessarily something that men forced them into.
I guess I don't know that much about the history of that. I know a lot about, like, the dressing history.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very fashionable to have that tiny waist. Oh, my God. I love that scene. I love, like, I know it's not, like, cool or anything anymore, but, like, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's just so good.
Wow, I so knew I was gay when I watched that movie.
like, deadass, fuck that guy. What's his name? Johnny Depp. Fuck Johnny Depp, but Keira Knightley can get it.
She can fucking get it.
She can fucking get it.
She, like, an
any day
actress
of the week. She's an amazing, amazing human being.
What do we do to
deserve
her?
Saw her in something that I lived over, and now I can't remember what it was.
She's perfect. Anyway, tiny waist.
I'm listening. Go ahead. I'm just looking at the floor.
Alice is really trying to recall this movie.
I'm really trying to remember where I saw Keira Knightley.
You do your best. So that was our, you know, initial dive into the, you know, the exterior layer of our flesh prism.
Sure.
And
the point of which being that, like, you have skin rolls.
Yes.
Like,
I would
and
die
you weigh
if I
105
didn't.
Pounds.
Yeah. And I'm 5'6", like...
Like, yeah, and having skin rolls is 100% natural and important because your skin needs to be flexible.
Yeah, I was trying to find articles about, like, you know, what's fucking hot is, like, you know, like, getting a flat stomach. And it's
whatever.
That's not real, right? It's like, we have, a pouch of fat there because, like... You know, if you have a uterus, you have a uterus fucking there.
It was the Duchess. I just watched the Duchess.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, like, I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't watch anything.
Did you see the Captain America movies, either of the first two?
Yes.
Do you remember, big yawn, do you remember, the woman who was, like, the British agent, who was, like, his love interest.
I love her. Didn't they make a whole show about her?
Yeah, they
I
did.
Watched that show.
Which was a very good show, and it was a bummer they got canceled, yeah. She, that actress, plays a character in The Duchess, and she and Keira Knightley get down. It is so good.
I love both of them.
I don't remember how old I was when I watched that movie. But it was a while ago, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, damn. But I just rewatched it recently because I put it back on Netflix, and it's just, it's a brilliant movie. And the guy who plays Lord Voldemort in Harry Potter plays Keira Knightley's husband.
Yes!
And it's so weird because I'm just so used to him being Voldemort. Like, because his voice, he sounds like Voldemort. You close his eyes, and that's, you close your eyes, and it's Voldemort, and it's so weird.
And you open them, and he has a nose.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, but we didn't touch on acne. We didn't touch on
stretch
oil
marks
or hair
or I mean, a lot of things we
shaping.
Want to talk about, like vitiligo.
Yes.
Is really, really interesting. Lots
coloration.
Of other skin conditions.
What do I have? There's like eczema.
Absolutely. I recently, or I mean, in the last few years, have discovered that I have anxiety induced eczema.
Oh, where it's like the histamine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I'm really stressed, I break out in eczema.
Yes. For usual, doctors don't really know what's wrong with me, but I have been diagnosed with that. We'll see. The verdict is out. I'd love to talk about dentistry.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like a big fucking thing for me.
Yeah. I think that your teeth are very cute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
A win.
Yeah.
I got approved for Wisconsin Medicaid.
Amazing. Perfect.
Also, it's called Badger Care, which is adorable.
That's hilarious.
And I get to keep the same insurance that I'm on right now.
Yeah.
But the insurance that I'm on, so my dad is a machinist, so, you know, when do we not screw over working class people?
Seriously.
So my plan had a $3,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been...
Which is huge.
Fucking huge. And so I was on the phone with them the other day, and I was like, so, like, what's my deductible? No deductible.
Amazing.
So just, like, for context, a copayment, if I was going to take an ambulance, $3 at max.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, my God.
I get family planning. I get dentistry. I get chiropractic work. I'm in the entire UW system where all my specialists
Holy
are.
Holy shit. I think it'd be more expensive for me to take an ambulance, and my dad has really good health insurance.
Yeah. So, like...
Holy shit.
This is the best health.
God bless Medicaid.
Honestly.
Man, it makes me really sad when we think about the state of, like, healthcare in this country.
I know. But I'm also surprised that, like, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're giving me good shit. And.
I know. I don't expect very much from Wisconsin in general.
And, yeah. I don't know. It's wild.
So I started listening to Wine and Crime, which is. Good, not as good as, and that's why we drink.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's another, like, podcast where they talk about crime and also
your rocks off
wine.
Murder.
I really like the format of the show.
Okay.
But I like, and that's why we drink better. But they live in Minnesota and they constantly talk shit about Wisconsin.
What? That's so
just
funny.
Constantly.
We're partners. I thought we were partners.
No. They constantly talk shit about Wisconsin.
They're just mad that they're so far away from everything.
And most of the time I'm like, ah, dang, you right. But like, they were talking about someone. There's somebody who fucked a deer. Like, somebody who's famous from Wisconsin for killing and fucking a dead deer. Gotcha. Whatever.
We do have a lot of murderers and cannibals.
We do. We have fucking Jeffrey Dahmer.
I know. He's a fucking big one.
Yuck!
Yikes. Who's the other big murderer from Wisconsin?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay.
Will is gonna look up. Wow. Thank you so much for sitting with us through this hour and a half of nonsense.
Of important quality information, Alyssa, but we have to say it's important.
Yeah, really important information about cellulite and body rolls, skin rolls. You can look forward to more skin episodes.
Ed Gein?
He's from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
He's another.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Walter Ellis.
I don't know him.
He's the North Milwaukee Strangler.
Oh, yuck. David, I hate stranglers.
Me freaking too.
David, my neck. I can't stand stranglers and axe murderers. Those are my two least favorite. I won't. Axes I just are can't. No, axes are a big no for me. That's one of my most recurring nightmares. Is Ooh, axes? Really? Oh my yeah, God. Of being like beheaded by an axe. Like that's a big no for me.
And then for folks who are maybe not as into true crime as we are.
Oh right.
Ed Gein is who the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was inspired off
of. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes, well, the internet is now telling me.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, we're huge true crime buffs, and we just can't.
I love it.
We just can't handle it.
So, lasting remarks, Alyssa.
I don't really have anything else to add except that your body is fine.
It's so fine. You should talk to you. Honestly, the most enlightening thing for me, part of it was going to the Boundary Waters.
Okay.
Where there's no flushing toilets.
Yeah.
You're shitting in the woods. Everybody has terrible shits because if you're fucking eating, you know, food that's like, what is it called? Like, flash frozen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, astronaut no.
food on the
See, chill. I need so many creature comforts. I could not go do that.
I don't know how I did it.
Yeah.
But so basically everybody shits, everybody's really vulnerable. So you talk about it with each other.
Yeah.
So like everybody walked away from that experience, like with a new appreciation for like talking about pooping. That's my biggest tip is like, if you can talk to your friends, your partner, whoever you feel comfortable with about your BMs, like you're going to feel better about yourself.
That's so funny. Like pretty much the only person I'm talking about my BMs with is you.
Does it feel good?
It does. It feels very freeing. We talked about how often I poop at work.
Yeah, I loved pooping at work.
Pooping at work is so nice because it's like, you're paying me to poop.
I know. What a great... See, you're getting them. Do you have a tip? Mine is talking about your poops.
What I would say is that it's very, very, very easy to look at the things on your skin mm-hmm. because they're so visual yeah. and they're the things that people see the most. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to look at your skin.
And you can get so close with your cameras yeah. and your yeah. mirrors.
And just hate it. And just mm-hmm. focus on the quote-unquote imperfections
yeah.
and focus on the things that society tells you are bad. It's mm-hmm. so easy to focus on these things.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, one, what we talk about all the time is that this is the only body you're ever going to have. Your True. Body does so many things for you to get you through the day.
Yes.
Like, your body is for you. Your body is not working against you. Your body mm-hmm. is for you.
Even if it feels like it.
Even if it feels like it's against you, it is for you. And it's important to appreciate and love and thank your body for all the work that it does for you.
Yes.
But what I would leave this conversation with is... The things that appear on your skin mm-hmm. appear there for a reason.
Yeah.
They show up because your body has decided to do so.
Yeah.
This is not something that you've done to create it.
No.
It's not something that you could have changed or fixed
no.
through anything. Mm-hmm. This is something that your body has created, and it's something that your body thinks is necessary.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot... judge your worth or your importance or your beauty on those things.
Absolutely.
And you are worthwhile and important and beautiful
mm-hmm.
regardless of what's going on. Like,
yeah.
Well, so it just really makes me really sad when, like, because I have these, we'll talk about stretch marks eventually, but I have these like white stretch marks
yeah,
on my,
too.
On my inner arms. And I always used to be really like self-conscious and embarrassed by them.
Yeah.
And now I kind of just like look at them sometimes. I just like stretch my arm out yeah. and just kind of look at them.
And they're pretty.
And they're pretty. Like I think of like these marks on my body as being like, you know, they're part of my body. Like,
yeah.
I love them and I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been really helpful to me in kind of starting to like, I mean, you know, continuing the process of loving myself and feeling
yeah.
confident in myself. And that's obviously a process and it's obviously something that takes a long time.
Right.
But what's really important to remember is that like, there is nothing that there is nothing on your body that makes you a bad or lesser or
undeserving
or
love.
Yeah. Or anything like that. Like you are wonderful and important mm-hmm. and good and worthwhile.
And you deserve to take up space.
And you deserve to take up space. Exactly. That's what we say every episode. Mm-hmm. Like, you should take up space. You deserve to take up space.
Right.
Regardless of what your body looks like.
And regardless of what people around you might be telling you.
Exactly. So, we hope that you listen to us tell you that you deserve to take up space.
Yes.
Because you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've got.
All right, so...
Okay, so until next time...
Yes. Fucking review us on iTunes.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'm actually pretty drunk.
Me too. I'm feeling it. I'm wishing that I had more food in my stomach.
Yeah, I think that we should eat something.
We should definitely eat something.
Please, if you enjoy listening to us, please go like our Facebook page, which we will post in the description. Please go follow us on Twitter. Please go follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Please tweet at us or engage with us through our email address, which we will also post.
Yep.
Please go on iTunes. If you are listening to us on the iTunes podcast app,
mm-hmm.
please go leave us a review or just a rating of any kind. You can just tap out of 5 stars and that's it.
Yeah, somebody left us like a bad star
review. I saw that.
We need to like rebalance it.
We would really appreciate some more positive reviews because right now we're not doing so hot because I think somebody didn't like how fucking radical we are, Willow.
Which makes sense. They're probably uncomfortable.
With how... radical we are?
Yeah, they probably aren't ready.
Well, they're fucking wimps then.
I agree.
We are strong, badass, radical bitches.
True.
And if you don't like it...
Please don't go to iTunes.
Please don't tell us. Okay. If you don't like it, come to my private Twitter and start shit with me.
Yeah.
Alyssa Mazur, @AlyssaMazur. That's it. That's my handle. Come fucking fight me.
Yeah, fight Alyssa. I don't have the spoons. But until next time.
Fuck
the patriarchy.
And take up some fucking space.